Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
On today's show, we're going to tell you a plant story. It contains an Aztec king, an American spy, and it seems to touch every continent.
The story continues with a foreign ambassador and the questionable influence of a presidential election.
It weaves itself right through Philadelphia, where it was introduced by Anne Bartram of Bartram Gardens.
During the Roaring Twenties, the tale heads west, right to Hollywood Sunset Boulevard.
We may never have known the whole story if it wasn't for a small grower from Germany.
So what are we talking about? The fascinating story of the poinsettia.
Poinsettia's amazing plant. And in our final segment, we're going to tell you what the poison control said about their toxicity.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back in the garden right after these messages.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
High-yield brand bone meal contains 10% slow-release natural phosphorus. It helps all plants to develop sturdy root systems and stimulate healthy growth. You'll use it every time you plant bulbs, but it also is an excellent supplement fertilizer for roses, flowers, and vegetable gardens. High-yield bone meal is sourced from steamed bone meal, which provides a clean, natural source of phosphorus. High Yield is brought to you by VPG, the Fertilome people.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Folks. Wait a minute. Well, who's that voice I hear?
What do you mean?
You made it. Aaron, he lives.
I'm telling you.
We found Waldo.
We found me.
Welcome back, Julio.
It's great to be back.
Newly betrothed.
Yeah, I know. You've got that right.
Yeah. All right. I interrupted.
No, you're fine.
Everybody's wondering where you were.
Yeah, that was
Professor
hiding.
Steve, especially.
Yeah, I know. I've been hibernating. Yeah. Okay, folks. Along the west coast of Mexico, high up on the hills, grows a gangly weed.
That's 12 feet tall.
I know.
12
it's
feet tall.
How tall this thing is.
And it has its history goes back all the way to the Aztecs. Mm-hmm. That last Aztec king was Montezuma. And that he would bring poinsettias into the city because they represented purity. Now, Mexico City, it's too high in elevation where it can't actually grow poinsettias, so they would have to bring them in. I mean, we're going way back, folks.
way back.
And that, so these caravans, and they would use the red bracts. Now, bracts, we're going to have to describe that. Bracts are a modified leaf. The actual center, if you're looking on YouTube, which we ask you to please subscribe and please rate us. We would appreciate a 5-star rating, and so would our sponsors. You'll get to see the poinsettias on YouTube where the actual center of what we consider and we'll call the flower is actually the real flower. It's where you see the pollen where they turn yellow, but all of the pink and like we have orange pink, we have the tapestry which has a variegated leaf. We also have pure white, poinsettia pure white, which is a relatively new variety. And it's all modified leaves and bracts. So they all have the same color flower. So what color is a poinsettia? What color is a poinsettia flower? Yellow. What you're seeing that is colored are the leaves. So just had to add that. So 14th to 16th century, the sap, like if you've ever broken a poinsettia, it will weep a white sap. And it actually was used to control fevers and also encourage breastfeeding. And that the leaves or the bracts of the flower were used to make dyes. And the first known documented poinsettia flower drawing was in 1780 by a Spanish botanist. Wow. So we're going back. It's an amazing plant. And wait till you hear the rest of the story. And we'll be right back with that right after these messages.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG! Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomers stocks, Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomers Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So, Joel Robert Poinsett. He was from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. He was a politician who lived from 1779, so right after the Revolution, to 1851, just before the Civil War started in 1861. So, who is this guy? Joel Robert Poinsett, again, born in South Carolina. Evidently had some money because his father was a physician, and he went and he sent him abroad to England to medical school. And he was in a military academy also while in England. And that was about when he was 17. Mm, yeah, young. Yeah. And the whole idea was his father wanted him to return to become basically a lawyer. Yeah.
Lawyer.
Anyway, to study legal studies in America. But in 1801, now he's 22, mm-hmm. He returned to Europe in 1801, and he spent most of the next 7 years traveling through Europe and Asia. But so 1812, here you go, Julio. It's a, what was this? What war started in 1812?
Gosh, you know, I was never good at it.
The War of 1812.
War of 1812.
All right. Which was Britain and the United States. And who was the hero? Anyone? 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 Lexi? Anyone? Hero, War of 1812.
Oh, I think I know. Was it Andrew Jackson?
Yes! Bing, ding, ding,
I would have never gotten that.
Yeah, you must have gone to prep school. anyway.
Actually, I did.
I know you did. So when the tensions began with Britain and the United States, because you got to think, it's like, you know, you ever see commercials and stuff, and you, like, it hasn't been that long for, you know, Iraqi freedom and all those wars. And if you think about it, 1812, if you go backwards, you know, it's only like 30 years from the time the revolution was over. So, again, just saying. So, in 1810, James Madison told him to, guess what? You're going to be the envoy to South America. And he needed to, basically, it turned him into a spy, because he posed as a British merchant to collect intelligence on Chile. And because there was, again, it was a revolution, wanted independence. Chile wanted independence from Spain. Stay with me, folks. This has to do with the point set, I promise. So he departed from Chile when things got a little, you know, precarious, let's say, for him. So he ended up with in Argentina. And then he stayed and returned in 1815 back to the United States in Charleston. 1816, Poinsett became interested in politics. Lawyers, right? Yeah, anyway, right. Lots of politics going on right now in our country. Anyway, it seems like it always has been.
Yeah.
So he returned to South America in 1817. They wanted to. James Monroe wanted him to, but he said, I'm not going this time. I'm not going. And he then he became a congressman, and he was a congressman for 4 years. And then 1822 to 1823, he visited Mexico on a special diplomatic mission for President Monroe. So they finally hooked him into going. And he published a book about his journey, Notes on Mexico, and it's full of details about the culture, scenery, and the plants.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, we're getting there. Okay. John Quincy Adams, a scholar and diplomat himself, became president. No doubt impressed by Poinsett's knowledge of the country, Adams appointed him the U.S. ambassador to Mexico. Hmm. All right, so this guy's, what do they call it? The deep state? I don't know what they call it now, anyway. So he served for 4 years in Mexico. And think about it, what's going on? Mexican Revolution, right? The Alamo, all that kind of stuff going on. So he is the ambassador, and the situation was, to say the least, unsettled. So Poinsett was often accused of, whether he was or not, was labeled basically a spy and a scourge. Oh, and they Mexican people, they had a name for him, and that when you became a person non grata, persona non grata, that Mexicans asked him to leave. They said, get out. Get out.
Wow.
And they called, and the Mexicans even coined the word poinsettismo.
Whoa.
Is that what I'm saying that right, Julio?
Poinsettismo.
From your Spanish? You following along?
Yeah.
All right. And it basically means that he's intrusive behavior and that you're a spy, pal.
Yeah.
John Quincy Adams told him to stay, though. That, say where you're unwanted. And you know why? Politics. Okay. Southern guy. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Southern guy, Andrew Jackson, is running to be the president against John Quincy Adams, and he knew that he had a friend in Joel Poinsett. So he said, guess what? You're going to stay there. So he was kind of forced to stay there so that he could, let's just say, for political reasons, he didn't want him to get involved in the election.
This is spicy. I feel like we should have the what is it? The mariachi band playing the James Bond theme song right now. This
hey,
is like
that's right. That's right. Hey, maybe you can work something up. It's true. I mean, because okay, so here's what happened. So during his stay, right, he wandered the countryside. So he's forced to stay there, and he found a beautiful shrub with large red flowers growing next to a road. He took cuttings from the plant and brought them back to his greenhouse in South Carolina. So in 1829, he sent the cuttings to, ready, this is what it's called, to Philadelphia at the first, understand this, the first, okay, exhibition of fruits and flowers and plants, which was found. Was founded by the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. All right, putting two and two together. Mm-hmm. It is now known and has continued ever since to be known as the Philadelphia Flower Show. Introduced by Anne Bartram and her husband Robert, who had received some of the original cuttings the year before and was an instant hit. Now, this is the plant that grows, you know, 10 feet tall. This is not the poinsettia that you see at Bloomer's Home and Garden. And that we're going to get into that soon. So Jackson said, okay, Joel, come on home. So he went to Washington in 1830. And this guy's amazing. And that's William Prescott, is a historian and horticulturist, was asked to give the new name to this plant. And at the time, Mr. Prescott had just published a book, The Conquest of Mexico, in which he details Joel Poinsett's discovery of the plant. Prescott named the plant the poinsettia in honor of Joel Poinsett's discovery. Nice. There you have it.
There you go. That's it.
The name Joel Poinsett, spy, he political lawyer, all of these things that he, an ambassador. So it's amazing to think. So this guy's not done. No. He's not done.
No, he is.
So he ends up coming back, and Martin Van Buren, 1837, was elected president. And he convinced Poinsett to come out of retirement and return to Washington as his Secretary of War.
Wow.
I mean, is there anything this guy hasn't done? He used his position to authorize an exposition in 1838 to survey the map of the region between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Poinsett also authorized an exposition to the western coast of North America. In 1841, he eventually retired. Why? Because he was trying to oppose, get ready, folks, the secessionist movement in his state that would eventually become what we know as the Civil War, the North against the South, and he was actually a Union sympathizer. Amazing story.
Wow.
Amazing story.
It is, isn't it?
It could be a movie.
Yeah, it could
be. It could be a movie. So again, the poinsettia was basically discovered by Joel Poinsett, named after him, based on a botanist, because he found it, was brought to the United States in Philadelphia, where Bartram, it was the place. Bartram had been the place where you ended up getting, where they would give, remember Bartram boxes, Julio?
Boxes, yeah.
Julio and I took a field trip there, I don't know, it was a year ago maybe,
yeah,
maybe two.
A year or two.
And that where the Bartram boxes would go on ships and be traded back and forth, and this is before the Revolution, that he was the king's horticulturist in the state and in the United States. But that was before it was the United States. It would be the New World, I guess.
Yeah.
In any case, in America. Mm-hmm. And so all types of plants we owe for the Bartrams. And the Bartram Garden still is a garden as well as a museum today.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. And
yeah.
I have to admit.
Oh, about your cutting.
About my, I stole cuttings from the Frank lineage tree.
I remember that.
I did. I tried to get, you know.
You
I tried. Did. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll deny it, but I did. In any case, Bartram Gardens is a great visit if you're in Philadelphia. It's worth going over to take a look to see the historical nature of that. One of the times when they were arguing over the Declaration of Independence and they were trying to get the southern states and the northern states to agree, the 13 colonies, and then they, you know, Ben Franklin said, "Whoa, let's take a break. Let's go over to Bartram Gardens." And so they all went over to Bartram Gardens to hang out, to catch a breath, to walk through their gardens. And it's all tied into the story of the poinsettia, which it's just an amazing place, amazing story.
Yeah, it's amazing how it travels.
Yep, but we're not done. Continue. We go to Hollywood next.
Oh, yes.
When we come back, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Anderson of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Anderson is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Anderson makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Anderson. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Anderson participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com. And be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you.
Is she gone?
Nope, she's still standing there.
What is she doing?
I think she's watching the grass grow.
That's our job.
I know, right? She's watching the grass grow, the flowers grow. Ooh, look, the trees are growing.
I can't say as I blame her. Remember where she bought all this stuff?
Duh, bought us there too.
Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Find us online at bloomers.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. The Ecky Poinsettia Ranch is named for the family that made the poinsettia popular to the masses, huh?
That's right. That's right. In 1920, Paul Ecky Sr. had his poinsettia ranch right on Sunset Boulevard in California, but they were grown not as a potted plant like you see, again, at Bloomers. They were actually a cut flower because they grew so tall. And they would take the canes of the poinsettia and send them east by train. And it was still mostly grown for cut flower, some pot production, but the stems would have to be manipulated. They have to take the stems and carefully, if you've ever had a poinsettia, they break really easy, that you would have to bend the tall stem down and then back up to try to make it more of a compact plant. It was the science that has to take place that wasn't available at that time. So, again, it was under development, and that Barbara Ecky is the name of it's actually Barbara Ecky Supreme. Now, if you can picture this, it was a variety that had a flower that was 22 inches wide. We're talking almost 2 feet. That's a big poinsettia flower, So if it gives you put it in perspective and scale, you know, that's how tall the stem would have to be, and then it would have this, you know, great big flower on it. So beautiful, beautiful. But that was developed in 1950. In 1963, I love this story. Okay, Paul Mickelson of Mickelson, Ohio. He threw seedlings. He was like frustrated. So he just like, I'm dumping this. You know, there are times where you just dump the tray. You're trying to do something. You're trying to do something special and it's not working. So he just dumped the seedlings in the dump pile and he came back and the plants were still there. And he thought he had something because the plants were better and more compact, and it was a better performance. It was just what he was trying to do. And it was the plants were so good that they could be put in prop production, and it almost put the Ecke family out of business.
Oh, gosh.
It's amazing.
It is.
And he also, instead of shipping large, like, canes, that he shipped the rooted cuttings. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, what's the next story?
Paul Ecke Jr. Yeah, this is Paul Ecke Jr. He needed a nanny, right? So he got a German nanny. She would only work if they hired her.
Yeah, I'm not working for you unless you hire my husband.
I'm a husband, yeah. You get two here instead of one.
Excuse me.
She hired her husband as
Franz.
Franz
Frewirth.
Yeah. And they started a hybrid program at Ecke's back in 1968. About that. And they introduced more poinsettia than anyone in the world. That's amazing.
All new introductions.
Yeah, all new.
And that, if you know the winter rose poinsettia, that's one that's kind of small. It looks kind of like a rose flower. And that it's real small and it's kind of crinkly. That was developed in 1999 and by the same German gardener, the nanny's husband. So the story turns. Goes to Norway. Thermite Hag, okay?
Of Norway.
And the variety Annette Hag was introduced, here we go, 1967.
Right.
And it was the first variety to be considered self-branching. Okay, why is this important? Because it didn't have to be treated with chemicals. It didn't have to be manipulated in a way that it became a pot plant. It did it all by itself. And guess what? That was big money and a big threat to the Ecke's. So the Ecke's said, guess what? Let's be partners. Be my buddy.
Oh, he saw it.
Smart.
Yeah,
they stopped being growers and became businessmen. And they did it again. While Paul Ecke Sr., the original Ecke, was traveling in Europe, you know, I think everybody in our industry, you're kind of addicted. Like, you know, when I go out and I'm allowed, I go visit gardener centers, you know, I'll check them out, see what they're like. Ecke Sr., he was walking through a greenhouse of just some backyard grower. It was not like, you know, a big, complex. It was somebody who just did it for fun. And he found all these branched poinsettias all through the greenhouse. On the spot, offered him $5,000 cash and created a partnership. And the reason is that these plants were from a graft. What does that mean? On the show, we have shared with you about how new plants are formed and that how it's science. So this plant that was all in his greenhouse came from one plant, and they took cuttings from what they call a mother plant, and this still happens today, folks. And so when it's a graft, that plant retains the exact style and shape, form, color of the original mother plant. So another, it's a clone of the original plant. So that made all of these perfect. They didn't have to be manipulated to be compact. And it's just an amazing thing. And it was this discovery by, his name is Gregor Grootber. So he created this partnership, and this isn't that long ago, and this was all the way in, you know, all the way 1980. This is not that long ago for somebody Julio's age. I got you, Julio. Or my age.
Oh, yeah.
So here's another thing. They discovered something else. So if you grafted a poorly branched plant, so something that grew tall or had a that didn't really have all the characteristics that you were looking for, and so you take that to and grafted it to a well-branched plant, so something that is compact and is something that you could be sold at this store level. The way that they did this is that they found that they could get the plants, all right, this is going to get a little bit heady, okay? The phytoplasma that was transmitted from the infected plant to a non-infected plant. So what they did is that the branched plant now made the other plant a branched plant. And it was due basically because it was infected by the phytoplasm that was in, and it actually it was actually a peach disease, peach X disease, or also called spirea stunt. Like, Julio, have you ever heard of a witch's broom?
Yeah, I've heard.
So the witch's broom are in trees. And like if you look at a tree and it has like a really small cluster of branches that are tightly knit together, that's basically what was happening. And so the role of this virus, and it became the standard procedure so that if you introduce this beneficial pathogen to new poinsettia seedlings after grafting, that they become branched plants without having to do anything. And it was a secret. Nobody told anybody. And I guess it was 20 years. And of course, the secret got out because a professor from Minnesota figured it out, and there ended the monopoly for Ecchi. Amazing. So, Julio, how much is the crop of poinsettias valued at?
Well, we're talking big money here.
Yeah.
$250 million with 70 million plants produced.
So today, $250 million, so a quarter of a billion with 70 million plants produced.
Yeah.
Now, one of the main reasons why we have poinsettias, and it was all because of not Paul Ecchi Sr., although he did have a lot to do with it. It was Paul Ecchi Jr. Being that they were in Hollywood, they would give poinsettias to all of the newscasts, all of the movies, all of, like, the Tonight Show. Johnny Carson would end up with poinsettias in his studio. And that people started saying, hey, what's that red plant? What's that plant? I want to get some. And that's how it was done. There's an old saying, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves. I was talking to my sister about that the other day. And it basically means there's one generation that starts it, there's one generation that exploits it, and then the final generation sells it.
Sells it. Yeah. <money.
laughs> Paul Ecchi III sold the third generation business in 2012 to Duman Orange, but Duman Orange, out of respect and also, I guess, branding, retained the Ecchi name. So you still can get Ecchi poinsettias by varieties, but it's by Duman Orange, which I believe is a Dutch company. It's amazing. It's amazing. So all the way from Mexico as a weed, now to 2012, sold to one of the biggest plant producers in the world. Amazing story.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to be back in the garden right after this about how to care for your poinsettia in your home.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Hey, welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So, I encourage everyone to buy a poinsettia or 2 or 3 or 10 from your local garden center because, for one, they are kept in the right conditions and taken care of. They are not a widget that you see at your local club store, you see at Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, where they're just kind of on a cart. You know, who was I with? Aaron, were you with me when we went to one of our growers in June and they were just sticking the poinsettias? Yeah. Poinsettias start in June. They start in June. And holy, I know you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's not like 2 weeks and here they are. You know, it takes almost 6 months for this plant to grow and it needs certain conditions. Again, it's not something, let's just say a little bit of respect, a little bit of respect. And why you don't buy it necessarily at your box store is just simply because it is not taken care of. Yeah, and what is the most important thing? I'm going to go out of order.
I was just in Lowe's the other day.
Yeah.
And I, as soon as I walked in the doors,
right,
the poinsettias are right there. You know, out of cold air.
Yeah.
At cold air.
And that's exactly what I'm going to say. Poinsettias, the worst thing for poinsettias are drafts.
Draft, yeah.
They don't want a hot draft. They don't want a cold, especially a cold draft. So don't put them near your door. Don't put them near your heat vent. You want to keep them away in the house so that they're away from drafts. That's first rule. Light. How much light do I give my poinsettia? Enough light so you can comfortably read a newspaper. For those millennials out there, newspaper is black and white and red all over.
It's anyway. Got ink.
Yeah, that, anyway, that it's something that they don't need a tremendous amount of light. So, because they've already
Because what do we say in the beginning of the show, right? Poinsettias, flowers, are in the center of the plant. The color on a poinsettia are actually bracts, modified leaves. So they'll hold that color even if you put it in where there's not quite the right amount of light that they're getting. So, again, medium light. Now, they will last a tremendous amount of time. But you've got to make sure that you keep them evenly moist and but not wet, and certainly avoid letting them go dry. In the environment that we have in winter that we have had, where we've had some poinsettias where they got these funny dot or funny white round patches on their bracts or on their flowers, and that is from the lack of humidity in the environment. And that you want to make sure that you keep them moist. Don't let them dry out first and then water them. Try to just keep them evenly moist. If you have a saucer on them, try to avoid having water stay in the saucer, so because you don't want to overwater them either. So moist but not wet. Now, the center of the flower will eventually drop all out. And we're talking about the actual real flower where the pollen is, the yellow flower in the center. But the bracts will hold their color for months. So as long as you keep it, you just take care of it as a house plant, and it'll keep on going. Now, believe it or not, I think we talked about this, Aaron, we talked about this last week, where about photoperiodic, where they need to have exactly to be called into their leaves, to the bracts to color up. They need exactly 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. And I told the story where we had one grower where the town came and said, oh, we're going to put streetlights in. And they put the streetlights in and completely threw off their crop. And they had no flowers on their poinsettias, or they came too early. And it's because of the light, the streetlights. They have to be shaded. If you have artificial light, they have to be shaded. Now, 12 hours light, 12 hours darkness, and that's what calls them into bloom. They naturally will bloom later. So if you think about what are the way that works is like the 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, you just go ahead and look at a sun calendar, and you can find that, and that's when they will naturally come into bloom. So it's not really Christmas, but they're controlled and manipulated to bloom at Christmas.
You know how I got mine? I controlled mine.
Put it in the closet.
I put it in the closet and use a grow light. That's exactly what I did. And it came back like crazy this year, the one that I planted in February.
Is it flowering now?
It's red.
Awesome.
It's red.
Wow. You should have brought it in.
I just pulled it out of the closet. Yeah, I pulled it out of the closet yesterday.
Is this the same red plant?
The same one.
Same one?
Wow. Same one.
Now you have to tell the story about.
So, ladies and gentlemen, most of you have heard this story before. I went outside at the end of February. I think it was like February 27th or something like that. And it was 71 degrees.
He did not talk to us about this.
And I'm thinking, because we were projected to get a nice stretch of warm weather, that the cold weather had been gone, that we were going to go into spring. Everything was going to start flowering early. And to my surprise, I was completely wrong.
This is two years ago, right?
Yeah. And I think maybe about a day later, temperature dropped down to like 29 degrees. Mm-hmm. And my poinsettia, it didn't do well. So pulled it out of the ground, lost all its leaves. I was lucky that it didn't die. And we nursed it back up over 2 years now. And it's almost as big as this poinsettia you see right here sitting in front of Lynn.
So if you see, and again, you did it.
Yeah.
Did your kids know what was going on, or did you just do it by yourself?
I did it by myself. My daughter kind of knew when she opened up the closet.
Yeah, the poinsettia.
And a light. And she's like, Daddy, what are you doing in here? But yeah, only person that really knew was my daughter. But yeah, I've been nursing it, man, and it's
That's
looking
awesome.
Good. Hit it with a little Jax, yeah. And it came back great.
Yeah, that's Jax Classic Fertilizer.
Absolutely.
Julio, you told me your mom used to plant them outside during the summertime and just let them go.
You let them go, yeah. They grew like beautifully. Like 3 feet tall.
So they became like shrubs. I mean,
it's a shrub.
We have them at Bloomers. They're every bit of 3 foot tall. The 10-inch pots that we have are great big monsters. Got them.
Incredible.
Not to be planted right now, folks.
No. They are not. They are not hardy, okay? They're not hardy. You've come a long way, Aaron. You've come a long way.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, again, I encourage you to go to your local garden center and pick up your poinsettias. Just simply that they are taken care of the way that they need to be. You don't want to be getting a poinsettia that has been neglected and where it ends up that you get it and it falls apart or it starts looking funny because of the way it was treated when it came off the truck or like it was left outside or if it was near the heater or was out, you know, where the doors open and close. So, again, make sure that you go to your local garden center because that is who's going to have the best variety and the best help. And they'll probably foil it for nothing and they'll probably take care of it for nothing. So they'll give you a sleeve and they'll also give you a care sheet. So that's what we do at Bloomers. And I'm sure our local brethren in the garden center industry do the same thing. All right, we're going to be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic Potting Mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant, paired with the perfect container, can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, Len and I called the Poison Control Center to ask if poinsettias are poisonous. I mean, that's a big thing with a lot of
you get it all. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
My dog Fluffy is going to eat it and die.
I know.
It's like, no, aren't they poisonous? Look, so I love that because we were on our way to the studio one time and we called from the car and this is what they had to say. And this is the Poison Control Center, you know, the thing that if like your kid swallows a bottle of detergent. They said they have never had a situation of poinsettia toxicity and that it is because of what happened in the 1950s in Hawaii that has made it so that poinsettias are supposed to be poisonous. real, and that this is what she said, in real life, they are not poisonous. You may get some stomach upset like anything else, but the old wise tale is very, very old information. And if you don't believe us, take this number down and call them yourself. 1-800-222-1222. Ask them. So we have this little announcement. Here is some dogs and cats, right? Everybody is about, oh, my dog, my cat, it's going to eat the poinsettia and die. They are not poisonous to cats. They are not poisonous to dogs. You might be surprised that this plant isn't toxic to any pet. Researchers from Ohio State College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science disproved this myth, Mythbusters, that they are not, that if they were poisonous to pets, all the way back in 1971. Yet somehow they still have this bad reputation. And it's not, you know, it's not to say that like dogs and cats can go ahead and eat it like a salad. But if it's eaten in large quantities, they'll get, you know, put it this way, they'll get some stomach discomfort. You may have a mess on the floor to clean up. But I guess, you know, if they ate an entire head of, you know, romaine lettuce, you'd probably have the same thing. Despite the myth, the Ohio State study proved that poinsettias are not toxic. It just refuses to die. This is back in 71. And they not only, in their study, they said, it's like they're not only are they not poisonous, and they're not poisonous to humans, and they are safe to keep in the house. They taste awful, and they aren't easily digested, but poinsettias are not poisonous. Said Claudio Passan, the assistant professor of horticulture and crop science at Ohio State. They tested, and here's another thing. How did it come to be? Like, how did it come? 1944. This is a stupid book. A lot of things were going on in 1944, so let's have a book called The Poisonous Plants of Hawaii. Yeah, right. So it stated that the milky juice and the leaves are poisonous. Well, wait a minute. At the beginning of the show, we talked about how it was used to encourage breastfeeding. Something's wrong. And it was based on a case in which a 2-year-old child of a U.S. Army officer in Honolulu died from eating a poisonous leaf in 1919. Okay. The book furthermore suggests that the poinsettia leaves and sap cause intense, I don't know what that is, emesis? And catharsis. In delirium before death. There was no medical basis for this claim of death, and the author apparently later, not only he retracted it later on because it wasn't, the conclusion was the point that it did not kill the child. However, the damage was done, and the urban legend today still spreads. Fluffy can't, well, I can't get a poinsettia, Fluffy's going to eat it. The study in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine reviewed 22,793 cases of poinsettia exposure reported to the American Association of Poison Control Centers and did not find a single fatality recorded. Another study in the Journal of Toxin reported the investigators who fed rats up to, how does a rat eat 500 to 600 poinsettia leaves did not identify any toxic potential for this plant. Good news. Poinsettias are not toxic. Got it?
Got it.
Excellent. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880.
If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG! Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomers stocks Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomers Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Oh. He's back. He's back.
I know. I'm back, folks.
All right. Yeah. If you're looking on YouTube, by the way, the poinsettias we have in front of us, the ones in front of me are the Norwin orange. It is Poinsettia pink. It is tapestry. And it is Poinsettia pure white. If you're used to a white poinsettia, they're actually on the yellowish side more than they are like this white is pure white. Hey, thank you, Lexi, producer extraordinaire.
Wow.
We'll see you next time in the same studio. Go to your local garden center, get your poinsettia, and we'll see you in the garden.
We'll see you in the garden.